Good morning. We're continuing our topic of Ani Ma'afech B'Charara, and I'll give a quick recap, and then we'll go on to two new questions. Actually, people who come to the in-person shiur, they ask these two questions, so we'll address them together. We have seen that when it comes to Ani Ma'afech B'Charara, there are two main criteria, two main questions that we have to analyze in order to understand if there is a problem when a single purchaser is negotiating to purchase a property or to get a job or to rent a property and the like, and somebody else, a second purchaser or renter, comes and takes the deal, purchases the property, rents the property, etc., the item, do we say that that second one has violated the prohibition of Ani Ma'afech B'Charara or not? And the two questions are as follows. What category of deal is going on here? What category of charar? We say Ani Ma'afech B'Charara, that is a literally a poor person who is trying to acquire a piece of cake. What does that mean, a piece of cake? Is it limited to purchases and sales and rentals? Or how about if that item is hefker, it's ownerless, or it's a gift from somebody, and the second person grabs that thing from the ground, it's ownerless, when the first one was working hard at acquiring it, or there was a gift coming from a third party, and the second subsequent recipient gets it instead of the first. So what category is it? Because the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam is that Ani Ma'afech B'Charara, and this is how the Rama paskins as well, it only applies when you're doing transactions, buying, selling, rentals, etc., but not if something is a mitzia, if something is hefker and the like. So that's question number one. Question number two is, where does purchaser or renter number one and the owner, the landlord, etc., where do they stand in their negotiations? According to the Mordechai, there's only a prohibition on number two, purchaser or renter number two, coming in if purchaser number one has agreed on price with the seller. They've agreed on the price, and now the second person comes and purchases it, obviously offers more money. Then there is a prohibition on number two of Ani Ma'afech B'Charara, and he is called a Rasha. However, if they haven't agreed to price, then there's no prohibition on number two. But the Prisha, on the other hand, told us that even if they haven't agreed on price, but they will agree on price, they're actively negotiating and things are looking good, absent that second purchaser, that second renter coming in and busting up the deal, the first purchaser would agree on price with the seller, then the prohibition of Ani Ma'afech B'Charara will apply. Our first question today is, what happens if there are other things that they have not agreed on? They've agreed on the price, but there are other things, critical things, important things, significant things that have to be agreed on typically as well. Now, if you're just going and buying a can of Coke in a store, you just need to know the price and you pay. However, when it comes to, for example, a rental of an apartment, there is more than simply what's the monthly fee going to be. There are, for example, questions of how long is the term going to be? Is it going to be a year? Is it going to be 2 years? Who's going to do various maintenance items? Who's going to pay various taxes? There are many other important items that have to be agreed on in order to agree on a deal. So even if you agreed on the price, it's going to be $2,000 a month, $1,000 a month, $5,000 a month. So you agreed on that, but the deal can certainly fall out. It can fall apart if you don't agree on the other variables as well. So what happens if they've agreed on the price, but they haven't agreed to one or more other important components? So the Pisgei Choshen says as follows, Nirle Achora, it appears, and it's not only for rentals, it could be for sales as well, how quickly you're gonna pay. We agreed on the price, but when are the payments gonna have? What are gonna be the warranties from the seller and the like? Who's gonna take responsibility for X, Y, and Z? So there are very important issues as well that have to be agreed on in addition to price when it comes to buying an item. So the Pisgei Choshen says as follows in Hilchas Keneva Perek Tes, Nira Lichaora Shebischiros. It appears that when it comes to our rental, for example, Shebedera Klal Nahug Lahasnos Od Kama Tanaim, that there are an additional number of conditions that have to be agreed upon in addition to price. Afshar Shagam Laachar Pisug Dam Nim. It could be that even after you've agreed to the price, Kol Shalom Nishtavu Bishar Tanaim, as long as they have not agreed on the additional conditions, requirements, components, the other factors that have to be agreed upon, Hareze Kilop Chaskudamim, it could very well be that it's like they haven't agreed on the price. It's not only the price, you have to agree on the major factors, other major factors as well. So it could be that there has been no agreement, even though they've agreed on price, but not other factors, or even one material significant factor. It could be that the prohibition of Ani Mahafech Bacharara does not kick in yet. You'd have to agree on all material matters, but then he cuts back on that and he says, but it could be that that's not the case. So he leaves it as a suffix. So we're going to leave it as a suffix as well. Unclear on this point. Is it only price or is it other variables as well that have to be agreed upon in order for the prohibition of Ani Ma'afeh B'Charara to kick in? Nonetheless, having said that, he does add on that if you have an item that has a set price, the price is known, or he says, O shenit ratzu shnehem ligmor hamekach b'mechir sheyaskimu b'neihem acharkach. If the two of them agree, the seller and the buyer, they agree, will agree on price in the future, then that is enough. The price is known, or they have agreed that they will agree on price in the future, then the prohibition of ani ma'afeh b'charara indeed will kick in. So the number two would be prohibited to come in and try to bust up that deal and to purchase the asset or to rent that asset. So that's issue number one. What if they haven't agreed on other factors but have agreed on price? And the next question that a couple of people asked is as follows. What happened if the second purchaser or the second renter that comes in and takes the deal, he did not know that the seller and the first purchaser were in negotiations or had agreed on price? Is there still a prohibition on number two? Would we still sell? Ani Hama'afeh B'Charara applies, and the second person is a Rasha. In order to get him out of being considered a Rasha, he'd have to turn over the asset that he bought to the first purchaser, sell it to him at his price, not at an increase, but the price that he bought it at, or the rental, he'd have to turn over that rental to the first person who was trying to lend that property. So that's the question. What happens if it was a shogeg? The second person that came in, that busted up the deal, second purchaser, second renter, what if he didn't know that the landlord, the owner, and the first purchaser were in contact and negotiating, or that they had reached price? So actually, the Tshuva Schemda Shlomo says as follows, Dibishogeg, if it's a situation, Deloyada, it's a shogeg, it's not that was malicious, or that he knew that there were negotiations or that an agreement had been reached on price between the first purchaser and the seller. He did not know. He innocently was negotiating, innocently bought the property. The Bishogig Deliyada Pashuk De'ena Alav Shum Dim Kla. When it comes to the second person, certainly there is no Isra of Ani Ma'afeh B'Charara. How can we find him responsible if he had no clue that there was a first purchaser who had agreed on the price or was about to agree on the price with the seller? So if it's an innocent number two, he didn't know about number one, then he would not be Nikra Rasha. And so what are we going to do with the Gemara? We actually started out the whole source of the prohibition of Ani Ma'afeh B'Charara was when we had Rav Gidl negotiating for a property. He was purchaser number one, and Rebbe Abba came and purchased it. Rebbe Abba came and purchased it, and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, the Rebbe of Rebbe Abba, that's the second purchaser, told him, you didn't know about it, that's fine. You didn't know about it, okay. But now that you know about it, you need to turn the property over to the first purchaser. So it seems, based on that Gemara, that even if it was Beshogeg, the second person didn't know, Rabbi Abba didn't know, still is Nikra Rasha, and to make amends, he'd have to turn the property over to the first purchaser. Says the Tshuva Schemda Shlomo, that is just a Midas Chasidus, that's a good thing to do, but not a required thing to do. Somebody who is Beshogeg, purchaser number two, renter number two, didn't know about number one and closed the deal, would not be called a Rasha. They still would have a Midas Chasidus to turn that asset over to number one, but it's not Nikra Rasha. That's the opinion of the Tshuva Schemda Shlomo, but Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees. A very interesting tshuva by Rav Moshe. He was discussing there not a purchase of a piece of real estate or an item, but hiring a tutor for the summer. And it turned out that somebody was looking to hire a tutor and was in negotiation Lichten's discussions with the first tutor. And the first tutor, so there was actually a lack of communication there. The person who was hiring, the hiring person, thought that the tutor was supposed to get back to him. And the tutor thought that the hiring person was supposed to get back to him. So just sat there, and the hiring person, I need a tutor. He found somebody else. He found a second person, hired the second person. And then the first tutor said, you can't do that. That's only a mafech b'charara. That was my opportunity. I was supposed to have that job, and you cannot take that job. I need that. That's my job. I need the parnasa. And there was discussions there. He did not know. Number two did not know. He knew that there had been some initial discussions. But then when the hiring individual came to him, he said, it must be that they have not come to agreement. He didn't come to agreement with the first tutor. So he was bishogig. He didn't know that the first tutor was waiting to hear, wanted the job. And he innocently, this is tutor number two, took the job. It was a case of shogig. So Rav Moshe responds as follows. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't distinguish between whether the second person was bishogig or b'mezid. It doesn't distinguish whether the second person, it could be somebody who wants a job or somebody who wants to buy an asset or rent a property and the like. It doesn't distinguish whether he knew that there was a first person involved or not. It says if the second person closes the deal, he is nikra rasha. And the implication is whether he knew or did not know about it, he is called a rush. And if he wants to not be called a rush, he'd have to turn over the asset, the opportunity in this situation. He'd have to turn over the tutoring job to the first person. And Rav Moshe says as follows, we'll read his language, L'chein satmu aposkim. The poskim did not distinguish. They simply said, Sha'asra midin mahave b'charara. There's an isra of ani mahafech b'charara in the second person, and they did not distinguish L'chilko ben yada l'lo yada. They didn't distinguish when the person knows or he didn't know, mishum da'af below yado humidin, because even if number two did not know, the halacha still applies ani hamaf b'charara. Number two is nikra rasha. Lachain tana zot lo yada ina tana. Accordingly, says Rav Moshe that the defense of the second person saying I didn't know about the first person, that is baseless. That is not a defense to being nikra rasha. So the Psak of Rav Moshe is not like the Tshuva Scham Dashlomo. The Tshuva Scham Dashlomo said, Ariya Ba'afech Becharara, Shenikra Rasha, the second person is Nikra Rasha. That only applies if the second person knew about person number one, but if he didn't know, he says Shogeg, he's not Nikra Rasha. But Rav Moshe says, no, we don't distinguish. The poskim say the second one who comes in and takes the deal is a rush, and they don't distinguish between whether he knew about number one or number two. And accordingly, number two is going to be Nikra Rasha, and to make amends, he has to turn over the property, the asset, the job to number one in order to not be Nikra Rasha. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.